to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Padres, Dodgers, division series tied one game apiece. Padres with a 10-2 win yesterday. They got a little chippy. We'll get into more of that coming up. But Lee Hacksaw Hamilton, he's the guy. You know that. You have been here to hear the interviews with Lee Hacksaw Hamilton over the years. Based in San Diego, California, he was the co-host of Hacksaw and Hayworth that was known as San Diego Sports Leader. Hacksaw Hamilton, now writing, doing some radio appearances, whatnot. This is falling under the whatnot category. How are you, Hacksaw?
John, good to hear from you. Is it Tuesday yet? We got baseball Tuesday night, San Diego. This town has gone crazy. And what we saw Sunday night at Dodger Stadium was pretty crazy, too. It's been phenomenal what the Padres have become. It's been tragic what the Dodgers are right now. And just to think that this thing could be over by Wednesday night is just, it's really hard to believe, just like it was hard to believe what we sat and watched on Sunday night and the way the Dodgers reacted to the beating and the way the Dodger fans reacted. Now the Padres responded. So this sucker's not over. I know it was only one win on Sunday night, but right now, everything as it relates to San Diego looks, with the arrow pointed up, everything relating to the Dodgers because of their issues is pointing down.
When you talk about issues, clearly fans lost their cool. Dodgers seemed to lose a little bit of their edge in this series. What did you see as those factors that you're talking about?
Well, this has been building for a long time. There's always been an inferiority complex. Padre fans, San Diego fans, this team's only been to two World Series and got run out of there pretty quickly. And the Dodgers have won all these division titles, and they have all the World Series rings, and they draw 4 million fans per game, and they have a $290 million budget. So it's just a very, very different mode of operation in a very, very different market. But that being said, the Padres have been building towards this, and they have to win this year or get to the World Series next year, because after that, they're going to fall off the cliff. They have traded their whole farm system away three times, and they finally built this roster. They have nobody left in the farm system that's ready-made to be a major leaguer, and within 2 years, they're going to have a bunch of 35-year-old guys with contracts going to run into their age 40, age 42. So if it's going to happen, it has to happen now, but I'll walk you through, and I think you and I chatted about this way back. When we got to opening day, the Padres had lost their owner, Peter Seidler, benevolent man who passed away in a bitter fight with cancer. When we got to opening day, they had lost their $60 million a year TV contract because of the collapse of Diamond Sports and Valley Sports and regional networks. And when we got to opening day, they owed Major League Baseball $40 million in luxury tax payments. And the people that took over the team to run it for the Seidler family announced they're taking the payroll down from last year's 223 down to 160. And I thought, boy, this is going to be tough. And what happened, the GM went out and made three, four more trades, traded the farm system away again, and they put this roster together that is complete. And this team is focused under a new manager. And they have just won every type of game you can, come from behind wins, blowout losses, walk-offs, etc. Phenomenal pitching staff, very selfless team. Nobody strikes out on this roster, which means you don't have a bunch of rally killers. And they just put the ball in play, and anybody on that roster could beat your brains out and win a game for you. And that's what's happened in San Diego. The flip side of that is the Dodgers with their record payroll, and the Dodgers with an unbelievable human being, a once-in-a-generation guy in Ohtani, and the Dodgers with good guys like Betts and Freeman, but the Dodgers pitching staff has been destroyed by injuries, and that's the shocker of it all. The Dodgers, if you look at their roster, you say, that's a hell of a staff. They got so many guys hurt. They have 38 pitchers this year that pitched at the major league level, 38. At one point, they had 19 pitchers have been on and off the disabled list. I've had to use 12 different starting pitchers this season. They've had 7 season-ending surgeries. And the big money guys they gave all the money to are all hurt. And here's the Dodgers, despite a great offense, hanging on for dear life because who the hell are you going to give the ball to next? So Dave Roberts has his hands full, and then you take all that, you stir it up, and the Padres are dominating the series this season, beat them 9 times, and then you have the episodes at the stadium where the Padres made some unbelievable defensive plays and then kind of egged the Dodger fans on, and the Dodger fans lost their mind. So that's where we are going to Tuesday night. So it's been a long run since April. All of a sudden, we're all rejuvenated because of what Padre baseball has become. And suddenly the Dodgers now have the understanding the Padres are no longer scared of them. And the Dodgers now have to deal with the psyche that the Padres are inside their head. And the Padres are going to hit whoever you throw out there on the mound, and then we'll just see where it goes. So, I mean, it's fascinating how this thing has flipped.
We're talking to Lee Hacksaw Hamilton. Hacksaw, you know, when you look at Fernando Tatis, Manny Machado, I mean, you're right about the swagger. I mean, Tatis hit everything that was thrown to the plate, you know, and he did what he wanted with every pitch in Game 2. And Machado, sort of being the spokesperson for the team, he goes 1-for-5, but had some pretty strong words after the game. Like, you're right that I don't think they fear the Dodgers. And I think winning this series, I mean, you tell me if I'm wrong, you know, San Diego loses the Chargers. If they get this series, it feels like it means more to Padres fans than maybe Dodgers fans, even though there would be a lot of hand-wringing and a lot of talk about the payroll. I think the excuse is out there with the injuries to the pitching staff.
Well, there's lots of ways to look at it. In all essence, the Padres own San Diego. They did not own the team, the city, when the Chargers were here. This was an NFL city, and the Padres are an afterthought. And the Chargers had gotten better and better, and the Padres continued to disappoint. But then the owner of the Chargers turned his back on 55 years of loyalty and left. And the anger and the rage here is just terrible. Well, the ownership of the Padres had just come on board, the Seidler family, 7-8 years ago, took control and said, this is what we're going to do. Well, all owners coming in the front door have sales pitches. But Peter Seidler and his baseball people followed it up, and they got progressively better and better as they went. It is now a Padre city. And I had always told Peter Seidler, who I did not know, he knew me because he was a talk show freak. And he said, Lee, I can't wait to get on the 405 freeway at 4 p.m. and get stuck in gridlock so I can listen to your sports talk show on radio. And I didn't even know the gentleman. But everything he said came to be true. And the Padres, because they're so civically minded and because they own the marketplace now, this has always been a great baseball city. And I told Peter that. And I said, Peter, yes, there are Padre fans who are here, been here ever since the franchise was formed in 1969, and you made it to the World Series twice and got run out. But I said, the wild card thing about this market, maybe it's different in the Northwest, this market has people from a melting pot of everywhere. And I said, if you win, you will draw everybody that wants to come to a Padre game. And if you win, Red Sox fan, Dodger fan, Cubs fan, Mets fan, Pirate fan, they're all going to come see their teams play. So you're going to sell the stadium out. Well, John, at the end of the day of this season, 56 sellouts. At the end of the day, in a market of 3.5 million, they have drawn 3.3 million, all-time record. So, I mean, it's phenomenal. Everything has finally fallen into place after 8 years of trying hard with a kind of a rogue general manager. So this year, next year, has to be a World Series appearance because after that, things are going to change again. But it's fascinating just to see. And now the whole country saw what happened Sunday, the whole country. And I think you'd agree with me, a lot of different facets of the nation hate the Yankees and hate the Dodgers because that's big market and that's luxury tax baseball and the best that money can buy. And the little guy has punched him in the mouth. So I think the TV ratings on Sunday probably going to be special. And we'll see Tuesday, Wednesday. I think the whole bloody world is going to watch just to see if the little guy can knock off the big guy. And everybody seems to dislike the big guy. That's my reading of the atmosphere right now.
Yeah, and I think Rob Manfred and baseball were thinking this is going to be the Ohtani playoffs, and here come the Padres looking to spoil that. We're talking to Lee Hacksaw Hamilton. Before I cut you loose, Lee, San Diego State to the Pac-12. That happens in your footprint. How excited are Aztec fans about finally getting admission to the Pac-12?
Well, if this, you and I had chatted about this prior on your show up there in the Northwest, you know, if this had been a different era, if the Ducks and the Huskies and the Trojans and the Bruins were part of this conference and San Diego State joined the fraternity, it would be electric. But sadly, it's not. There's no buzz at all. Football has not been a national name. It's not like Boise State's national name. They got a lot of work to be done. Basketball is very different. Obviously, they've got themselves a national brand. It's kind of unique what Brian Dutcher has been able to do. I think they're caught between a rock and a hard place. And I credit Oregon State, Washington State. You've written a lot about it up there. I credit them for having the fortitude to try to rebrand this thing and build it, but there's not a lot of people out there to build. You know, getting the top four from the Mountain West is okay, but please convince me this is not going to be Mountain West 2.0, because that's the feel it has. There's no buzz at all because there is no USC and Oregon and UCLA or the Washington Huskies. So it remains to be seen. I do like the acquisition of Gonzaga. If I was king, gee, I wish I could make a trade and pry BYU out of the Big 12 and bring them into the conference. Now you got more brand names joining your league. I still think, and I might be a lone wolf on a street corner, and you can tell me I'm crazy and you wouldn't be the first one. I still think Cal Stanford are going to find their way out of the ACC and come back. And if this UCLA disaster in the Big 10, because that program is football-wise has really fallen badly, if UCLA wakes up one morning and says, this doesn't work, and now if UCLA comes back with Cal and Stanford, with what they've added, now suddenly it's a very different conference. But to the long answer to your question, there's no buzz because we're not going to the Pac-12. This, you know, please don't tell me that this is not going to be reincarnation of the old Western Athletic Conference or NWC 2.0. So only time will tell.
Yeah, I think without New Mexico, Wyoming, San Jose State, it's a better conference. But it's not the old guard Pac-12, for sure. But I do think they're talking about and leaving seats warm, obviously, for Stanford and Cal, and potentially for whatever comes next in college athletics. I'm more concerned about 5, 6, 7, 8 years from now, Lee. If the Big Ten and the SEC get their way, it will be a 36-team league, and then everyone else fighting for breadcrumbs.
I think you're correct in your assessment. I also will add this addendum to your statement. When these TV contracts expire, most of these guys are on 5-year deals, these networks are going to come back, and they're going to say, we're not paying $50 million per year to Mississippi State and Vanderbilt in the SEC. And we're not going to pay $50 million per year to Northwestern and whomever is the bottom feeder in the Big Ten. And we surely don't want to do that to some of the lower bottom schools in the Big 12. So I think the landscape is indeed going to change. Now, whether that's a reshuffling of schools leaving and going back to regional conferences, that remains to be seen, or whether there is a super conference of football. But this also is now tied into the fact that everybody is of the understanding the NIL is not working correctly, and the transfer portal has just been disgusting to have to watch, observe, and deal with. And these poor coaches, you know, the top four veteran football coaches in the Mountain West walked away from their jobs within 2 weeks last fall. They were so fed up with tampering and the portal and all that. So there's going to be a reemergence and changes in college football. And when these TV contracts expire, I think that'll be the first domino that's going to change it. And we'll see what Charlie Baker and the NCAA is able to do in terms of an antitrust exemption, because that's what they're pitching Congress on, John, is give us control and authority to take control of the NIL and restructure the portal. There's got to be some sanity back into college athletics, because it's the Wild West, and I don't think it's good for college athletics and the student athlete. And this whole, all these guys that went to the Big Ten and all these guys that are playing the Big 12 and obviously the road trips to the ACC, this whole thing is absurd.
Lee Hacksaw Hamilton, good luck to your Padres. Talk to you down the road.
Hey, John, always great to talk to you and everybody in the Northwest. When you're done with the bald-faced truth, go to my website, leehacksawhamilton.com. And, of course, you can register to follow me on YouTube just like you are with John. John, always a pleasure to chat with you. Have yourself a good evening.
Thanks, Lee. There he goes. Hacksaw says San Diego State, no buzz about getting to the Pac-12. Padres, Dodgers exchanging barbs in the locker room. Oh, the NFL Players Association, they may cringe at the idea that baseball players were talking to media, meaningful conversations happening in the locker room after game 2. share some of that coming up.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object. Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.